Nike, the world's largest manufacturer of athletic equipment and apparel, scored at the nation's highest court today. The company is back in the legal game with a First Amendment challenge to a serious lawsuit suffered in California. Specifically, the Supreme Court agreed to review a California Supreme Court decision that allowed a suit against Nike for allegedly making false and misleading statements in the course of promoting its product. The statements were made when Nike sought to publicly rebut charges that it allowed substandard wages and sweatshop conditions at its overseas plants. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg is here in the studio to talk about this case. And Nina, before we get to the big picture, the little picture, how did this case come to be?
Well, in 1996, there were a lot of news reports alleging that in factories where Nike products are made in Southeast Asia, the employees were paid substandard wages and were subject to unsafe and cruel conditions. Nike then went on a campaign to defend itself against those charges. It commissioned a review of its practices by former UN Ambassador Andrew Young. He concluded that the charges were largely false. Nike took out full-page ads trumpeting that conclusion. It distributed pamphlets stating that it did not pay substandard wages or allow sweatshop conditions. It wrote letters to the editor. In other words, it was, every pun intended, Robert, a full-court press.
Go for it, Nina.
Now enter a fellow by the name of Mark Caskey, about whom we know really relatively little, except that he is called in various news reports a veteran San Francisco activist. Caskey filed a lawsuit under California's unfair trade practices and false advertising laws, both of which allow citizen lawsuits to remedy false or misleading trade practices, advertising, or, quote, untrue or misleading statements put before the public. He contended that because Nike's statements were made in essence to protect its franchise and to sell more shoes, and because the company's statements were untrue, that Nike must disgorge all its profits made in California. Well, the case never went to trial. Nike immediately went to court asserting that its statements were protected by the First Amendment guarantee of free speech. A closely divided California Supreme Court, however, ruled that the case against Nike could proceed to trial. The state court took no position on the truth or falsity of Nike's statements, but the court said that since those statements were factual and about the company's own operations, and because they were made for the purposes of promoting its own products, the state law barring false and misleading commercial messages applied.
Now, Nina, as I understand it, the Supreme Court has long observed a difference between commercial speech and other kinds of speech.
Yes, and the California court invoked that distinction. It said that non-commercial speech, like yours, mine, and President Bush's, has the full protection of the First Amendment, but a commercial enterprise's pronouncements have less protection when it comes to factual statements in praise of its products or how they're made, because the company ought to be able to easily verify the accuracy of its own statements.
And this caused quite a flap?
A huge flap. Indeed, the end of the world as we know it, according to the business community, which has filed a variety of friend of the court briefs, and also according to 32 news organizations who assert that if the California Supreme Court is upheld, no corporate executive with an ounce of savvy would ever talk about anything to a reporter again. Nike has hired some of the most distinguished defenders of the First Amendment, Harvard's Lawrence Tribe and Duke's Walter Dellinger, to defend the company. Those are normally liberal professors. And the Chamber of Commerce has weighed in the strongest terms in a brief filed by former Whitewater Special Prosecutor Kenneth Starr.
Starr and Tribe and Dellinger, strange bedfellows?
Not really on this. This is one question on which modern-day conservatives are, if anything, more aggressive than liberals. On the Supreme Court itself, the court's most conservative members have pushed repeatedly to protect commercial speech just as strongly as other speech. The contrary view is that commercial speech, because its aim is to make money, should be more strictly regulated in order to protect consumers.
And when might this be argued at the Supreme Court? Yeah.
Probably early spring, with a decision by the end of the term.
Thank you very much. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.